friends, welcome to the Grace-Based Families podcast. At Grace-Based Families, we are all about helping people bring God's grace to the forefront of all areas of their lives. And this includes our lives at work. Whether you work from home, work in an office, or are running your own business, how we treat the people we work with can define the culture around us and make or break how we experience our lives at work. Our ministry is excited to be launching a great new resource called Grace at Work, a book by Tim Kimmel and Michael Tooker. Find out more about the book and pre-order at graceatworkbook.com. Now on to the Grace-Based Families podcast.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Karis.
So today we are going to talk about a topic that I think a lot of parents will be interested to hear about because, you know, our kids aren't perfect. They mess up. And often we have to come up with consequences.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's so hard, though, in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
All the time I hear myself, I'm like, if you throw that, you are going to get something very bad. And I will come back with what that is, but it will be very bad. Lose something. Or, like, I can't even in the moment. I don't even know what to
do. Or you end up, like, you know, promising consequences that you just can't stick to.
Yeah.
You know, it's
you will not leave this house till you're 40.
Right. And you're like, you're upset that you go overboard with it and then you can't follow through. And the worst one for me was always just like, no TV for a week. And then I'd be like, shoot, I should not have said that because if they can't watch TV for a week, I can't watch TV for a week because if the TV's on in our house, everybody can hear it. I mean, it's, you know, we don't have that big of a house, open floor plan. So it's like, if the TV's on, it's on. Mm-hmm. So I was like, dang it, I'm basically punishing myself too. Yeah. So,
and the worst is sometimes I'll say, just wait till your dad comes home. And I always said I would never say that because I remember my mom used to say that. And then my poor husband is like, wait, I don't want to come home and like have to punish these kids. I'm not mad at them. I don't know what happened. I'm just like 8 hours ago, this little nugget. So anyway, so we're going to talk about choosing consequences that really work, kind of age appropriate consequences.
Yes.
So I'm really looking forward to that because I'm running out of options right now.
And it can be hard to come up with the right consequence that fits what they've done, you know, the crime. You want to make sure. And I think that's a good place to start is that for consequences to be effective in the short term, but especially in the long term with our kids, they do need to be fair. Mm-hmm. You know, I think especially, you know, certain kids have a really strong sense of justice, especially when it comes to injustice done against them, you know. And if we're not fair, if we're not proportional with our consequences, then that can really erode our relationship with our kids. Mm-hmm. And they just think, okay, I did this thing, but what, you know, what I got in return was way off the rails. And so I think that's a good starting point is thinking about the fact that we want our consequences to be proportional.
Mm-hmm. Well, your dad always has this saying, Tim Kimmel says, never drive a thumbtack with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And I love that because he's basically saying, you know, choosing the wrong size hammer for the job, you know, can really erode the trust that's essential between the parent and the child to have a grace space relationship there.
Yeah.
So you're saying like pick the appropriate consequence for the crime. You don't need to.
Right. The hammer being a metaphor for a consequence that you choose for your kids. And you can drive in attack with a sledgehammer. It will go into the wall, but probably so will the hammer and it'll damage the wall. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not so much saying that, you know, harsh consequences don't work to curb behavior. They might, but they might cause more harm than good. Mm-hmm. So it's a good starting point to just kind of remember that we need to be fair and we need to be proportional with our consequences.
And why do you think we need consequences? Sometimes I get so overwhelmed that I'm just like, I don't even care anymore. Fine. Like throw slime on the ceiling, mm-hmm. hit your brothers. I honestly, I don't even care.
Yeah.
But why are they so important? I mean, what is it? Is it to turn their heart back towards repentance? Is it just to make sure that they end up being wonderful adults someday? Like, why do we need to come up with these
well, consequences? Both of those things that you said are reasons that consequences are important. But I think more than anything else, it simply prepares our kids for the real world, the world that they are going to enter someday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, natural consequences are often harsh. And, you know, there's certain behaviors that are unhelpful, self-destructive, sinful. And if those continue as they get older, and if they take those behaviors with them into their adult life, the consequences for those things then are going to be so much more detrimental to them. So I think, you know, giving consequences or allowing natural consequences sure. to take place, not standing in the way of natural consequences is important because it simply prepares our kids for the world as it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the added bonuses are that it helps to teach them, helps to train them. Mm-hmm. It helps, you know, in the sense of sinful behavior, right? Because not all things that we discipline our kids for are necessarily sinful. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're just correcting something that they simply didn't know, or something that they forgot, or whatever, right? It's not all negative behavior is sin behavior, mm-hmm. sinful behavior, right? But when it comes to behavior that is sinful, like lying or stealing right. or cheating or, you know, harming another person with, mm-hmm. you know, violence, anything like that, right? Yes, it having good consequences, appropriate consequences, helps them to turn their heart back towards God, gives them good discipline, also gives an opportunity for growth and change. Mm-hmm. It invites them to participate in their own restoration and reformation.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good. I like what you said too, though. Some things are just annoying, or, you know, they're breaking house rules or whatever.
Right.
Like, I can think of, we have a child that will kick his pull up, you know, his little like diaper, nighttime uh-huh. diaper thing up on the fan uh-huh. and then turns the fan on and likes to see it go full black. I mean, it's yeah. a dry diaper, but you know what I mean?
Right.
And then likes to see how far it will launch. Well, I'm like, can you not do that? Because I don't need you standing on the top bunk, leaning over onto the fan. Like, so much is going to go wrong here.
Right.
You're going to break an arm. Right. You're going to pull the fan out from the ceiling. Like, this is not a fun game. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm like, but is it a sin issue? No, he's just being a wild four-year-old.
Yeah, he's being a wild four-year-old boy. And so, yeah, and in situations like that, sometimes you do have to allow, like, you know, if your kids are running around the pool and you tell them, don't run around the pool, don't run around the pool, don't run, you know, you say it so many times, and the natural consequence is that they fall mm-hmm. and smash their face, right. you know, and sometimes that's the best teacher. Mm-hmm. And obviously we don't want to be reckless, and right. nobody wants their kids to get hurt. But and that's a really sort of basic example. Yeah. But allowing for natural consequences sometimes is the thing mm-hmm. that makes the biggest difference.
Mm-hmm. But then you also mentioned, too, that there are sometimes character issues, and those, like in our house, we put a little more weight on that. If
yeah.
someone's lying.
Right.
about something, or, you know, if their behavior is really displaying a lack of character, that gets hit with a harder consequence
mm-hmm.
because that, to me, is going to be a bigger issue down the road.
Yeah.
I know no one's going to be like launching diapers off of ceiling fans when they're, you know, 20 years old.
Right.
But they could be lying, and that could right. get them in some serious trouble.
Yeah, I think, you know, we like to think in terms of misdemeanors and felonies. Mm-hmm. And so if we are to make consequences fair and proportional, I think it's important to take a minute to think about, okay, is this a misdemeanor or a felony? You know, I think we've talked about rules and how to arrive at rules as a family, and that there are different categories of rules, right? Some rules are moral and biblical rules. They are based in sort of moral law, and you know, we look to the Bible to see what those things are. Some things are simply safety rules, like mm-hmm. it's not about it being moral or immoral. It's just not safe, yeah. right? And so then there's going to be some rules around safety, and then there's just going to be, like you said, some house rules that they're arbitrary. We it's like, take your shoes off when you come in the house and set them over here. Like, you've got right. processes and procedures, and those things exist simply to make our homes run more smoothly, yeah. For our convenience, so that we can kind of all exist in a space together. And so you have to kind of think, okay, what rule is being broken here? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, breaking a house rule is more like getting a speeding ticket. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, look, I asked you to do this. You didn't do this. We need to really remember. And, you know, you want to be proportional. But then when there's dishonesty or something that is a felony, you're mm-hmm. going to respond differently to those things than you would house rules or even safety rules, you know? So I think the key to picking effective consequences is thinking about or discovering what I refer to in my book, Grace-Based Discipline, as currency. Hmm. What is your child's currency? What do they value? Hmm. Because a consequence really needs to act on the currency that they trade in. You know, if you go to Sweden, you need to use the currency that they use there for it to have value. Mm-hmm. And different kids with different personalities are going to have different currencies. So that's a factor. Mm-hmm. But I also think stage of life and development plays a huge role in what our kids' currencies are. Yeah. So
help me understand those, because I feel like I have kids in every different currency range at this point.
And that can be what's challenging about this, is just when you kind of feel like you've got your kid figured out, well, they grow and they change, yeah. and it's, you're kind of chasing this moving target a little bit right. with this. And so I think a little bit of like preparation in advance can really mm-hmm. go a long way with this. So mm-hmm. I break it down into sort of five stages. And so we'll talk about these five and what they mean. And remember, these things are, you know, they're transitional, and they are on a spectrum. Mm-hmm. And then they also can be affected by your kid's specific personality, right? But in general, I think having this understanding is really helpful. Mm-hmm. So the first sort of stage, you know, when you may need to be picking consequences and enacting some discipline with your children, is the toddler phase. Right. And for toddlers, you know, kids between 1 and 3 or 4, that currency is having. Hmm. So here's some synonyms: possessing, holding.
Yeah.
And that's why often, you know, toddlers have such a sort of messed up view of ownership, because right. they kind of think
everything's
like,
mine.
Everything's mine. Right. That's why, I mean, both of my girls' first word was mine. Mm-hmm. And well, it was actually no, and then their second word was mine. But yeah, if they can see it and if they want it, mm-hmm. it's theirs. And this extends to obviously objects like toys or you know, the iPhone, or, you know, remote control, or whatever it is that they want to have. But mm-hmm. it also extends to people. So mom is mine. Mm. Dad is mine. That is mine. The dog is mine. Yeah. You know, so it is. It's a little messed up. But the way that their brains have developed at this point, that's how they think. Mm-hmm. And so a great, you know, consequence that acts on the currency of a toddler, that having, possessing currency, is just removing the desired objects, or removing them from the desired objects, yeah. removing them from the room, putting them in a quiet timeout place, isolating them. Mm-hmm.
At Grace-Based Families, we're all about helping people bring God's grace to the forefront of all areas of their lives. And this includes our lives at work. Whether you work from home, work in an office, or are running your own business, How we treat the people we work with can define the culture around us and make or break how we experience our lives at work. Our ministry is excited to be launching a great new resource called Grace at Work, a book by Tim Kimmel and Michael Tooker. Find out more about the book at graceatworkbook.com. Now back to the Grace-Based Families podcast.
I remember when my oldest was like probably 3.5 or 4, he got obsessed with all of our old CDs. Like he had a little player, CD player in his room. So he was listening to like the Beatles and CNC Music Factory and Michael Jackson.
And the good stuff.
Yes. And so when I said, I don't know, he did something and he got in trouble. And I'm like, okay, if you do that again, there's going to be a consequence. And he said, I'll never forget. He's like, oh, do you know what the worst consequence would be? I'm like, please tell me. And he was like, it would be if you took my Backstreet Boys CD away. I would just die. And I was oh my gosh, I am dying that you love Backstreet Boys and you're
four years old.
So
cute.
But I also was like, okay, note to self. That is his most desired possession in all of his life. And so I'm sure he did lose it at some point.
Well, and I love that he told you too. You're thinking, this is not a great strategy, kid.
I know, exactly.
But I'm taking notes.
Just like, whatever you do, please not this. I'm like, okay, great. Well, that was easy. Yeah. Where the other kids are like, what do you desire? I will take it from you. But I can't tell, you know. With him, you just put it all out there, which was nice.
Well, and for kids that young age, about, you know, 3 or 4, they have developed object permanency, meaning that they understand that just because they can't see something, it does still exist, right?
Right.
That's that concept. That's why we play peekaboo with babies, right? It teaches them, you can't see mom, but I'm still here, right? And it can help, you know, with separation anxiety and stuff like that. They grow out of that because they start to understand, oh, just because I can't see something doesn't mean it's gone away. Mm-hmm. But when they're really young, I mean, you can solve a lot of problems by simply removing whatever object it is that is causing the problem. Mm-hmm. And then they forget it exists.
Yeah.
But for older toddlers, 3 and 4, you know, we're not talking about taking things away forever, isolating them for very long, putting them in timeout for very long. You have to remember that they have kind of a short window, and so consequences need to happen pretty immediately after the behavior. Mm-hmm. That window is short when they're younger. That window grows a little bit as they get older. So, you know, when they're teenagers, you can say, okay, you took that, you made that choice here, and so next week, this is what's not going to happen, or this is what's going to happen. They can connect the two, but young kids can't. So it's like it needs to be action, consequence, almost immediately for them to start to connect. Okay, that is a behavior mom doesn't want. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're nodding our heads like, yes, of course. But in the heat of the moment, we can forget this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not it has no bearing to tell your toddler we're not going to go to the library later because they don't understand later. They understand now. So they live in the now, and those things need to kind of happen in the now.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. So the second phase is kind of the preschool age. So now, remember, these are transitional. So, you know, a 4-year-old can look a lot different than another 4-year-old. But we're talking 4 or 5 years of age. And their currency at that age is doing. Okay. So remember, toddlers was having. Preschoolers is more doing. It matters what they're doing at the time. So they're playing, you know, they're coloring, or they're playing with their Legos, or they're outside on the swing.
Right.
They still care about possessions and having things, but it matters more that they're enjoying an activity or what they're doing. So to act on that currency, you would take away that activity. You would stop them from doing that thing, remove them, again, isolation or timeout. Mm-hmm. So it looks a little bit like the toddler phase, but I think it's helpful to remember that it's more about what they're doing than what they're maybe holding in their hands.
Sure. That makes sense.
The next phase, school age children, you know, this is kind of elementary school through maybe beginning of junior high, but I would say this is more elementary school age, is being. That's their currency. Mm-hmm. So having, doing, and then being, meaning being with someone. So doing an activity, but with a friend, right?
Right. When or could that also be a sibling, like going to a movie with dad or something like that, like that they would miss out on?
Right. Because they're becoming far more relational mm-hmm. at this age. When they're even preschool age kids, you kind of, if you observe preschoolers, they'll all be playing, but they more play parallel to each other, sure. right? They're kind of playing alongside of each other. But if Tommy gets up and goes and does something else, you know, mm-hmm. the toddler playing next to him isn't upset. He's just going to keep doing what he was doing. He doesn't really care. But then they transition into being more relational. And so those relationships matter more, who, you know, what they're doing and who they're with. Mm-hmm. And so, again, taking away possessions also works. Activities, privilege. This is where you kind of get into isolation, but grounding. So this may be a longer term consequence. Like it's, you know, with younger kids, you're going to put them in timeout for maybe 5 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Then maybe 10 minutes when they're a little older. You know, elementary school age kids, you can say you're grounded this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, maybe something happens on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And you say you're grounded this weekend.
Or you're grounded. You've lost screen time the rest of the afternoon, rest of an evening.
Well, put a pin in the screen time because we're going to talk specifically about a strategy with that. But just kind of keep in mind that when they're that age, you know, what they value is the activities mm-hmm. and the being with the people who they value, their friends, their siblings, their mm-hmm. Parents. I don't necessarily recommend taking away time, like special time with parents. I think that tends to be counterproductive. Yeah. You know, like if you have a routine at night where you read books to them or you sing to them or you rub their back or mm-hmm. something like that, taking that away really exasperates the behavior because it, you know, a lot of the time our kids are doing the things they're doing to get our attention. Mm-hmm. And so I find that it's important that our kids know that they have our attention and our love and our care no matter what, regardless of their behavior. But there are plenty of other things that can go mm-hmm. and that will go away if they continue to break the rules or to behave in ways mm-hmm. that are hurtful or harmful or unhelpful.
And I think along those lines, too, when we were talking about timeout, I know some people are like, oh, you never want to like banish your child away from you because God never does that to us. And mm-hmm. and we're saying we're not using it like that. It's more like a reset because, mm-hmm. and I've heard, and I've said this, or I've heard other friends say this, like when you can be kind or whatever the behavior is, right? If they're lashing out at you or yelling or they're hitting, you can mm-hmm. say, you know, when your words can be kind and your hands can be calm, I'd like you to rejoin us. Like, I want to be with you, but your behavior is making it so that we have to have some boundaries there mm-hmm. because how you're hurting the people around you physically, verbally, whatever, is not healthy and it's not okay. And I love you enough to say you need to take some time and reset. It's not, I can't be around you when you're like this. I can't stand you, right? Like,
right. Well, we never want to punish our kids. We want to discipline them. Mm-hmm. Those two things are different. I think we've talked about that many times on the podcast before. But, you know, different parents are going to have different approaches to how they do these things. Mm-hmm. I think what's important, though, is by understanding where your child is at in these phases, mm-hmm. It can help you understand what they value and what their currency is. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, depending on the child, and a lot of the time children who have come from the foster care community or system, or kids with autism who are on the spectrum, you're going to have to approach this differently with them. Yeah. So a timeout, like you said, could look like a reset, and you could be with them. Mm-hmm. during timeout. Mm-hmm. Just simply sort of maybe putting a little compression from on the outside of their arms and looking at them in the eye and taking them through a breathing exercise or something. So,
or remove them from the activity that's causing from the activity the angst. And okay, we're going to come over here.
Yeah.
We're going to sit in this other room and calm down and breathe, whatever that looks like.
Mm-hmm. But if you have a very socially oriented kid, sometimes the only thing that's going to get through to that kid is isolation. And it's not going to be for long. You know, you kind of start with a very short time. And as they're a little older, that can go a little bit longer. But, you know, for a kid like me who just loved people, wanted to be with people all the time. And if I was missing something, if I was isolated, that would get my attention. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, make note. Okay, I got to change my behavior, you know. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about these last two. And then we'll talk about screen time. The fourth phase is kind of that tween phase, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth grade. And their currency is belonging. So you see it move from being with people into a little bit of a deeper place, a deeper relational place, and that is belonging. Whereas elementary age kids, for the most part, they're content with their friends, with their few friends, you know, a couple of friends, being with their favorite person. Whereas tweens, they actually care what
group is doing.
Their group or everyone going at school. They care about what people that they don't even know very well think of them. Mm-hmm. And so because they just want to fit in, they want to belong. And that's why, you know, taking away loss of, you know, grounding or loss of possessions, activities, privileges, repaying, you know, if they cause harm, you know, having to work to repay for something if they break it or mistreat it, those are all, you know, good places to think about consequences. And But I think what's important, and you're going to see a lot of, you know, similarities. It's like, okay, isolation, grounding, taking away, you know, activities, taking away possessions. But the reason that tweens value possessions is not because of the actual object as much as it is that thing helps them belong.
Connect to somebody else.
Connect to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So their phone or, you know, the brand of jeans that they wear or the gaming system that they use
or
the team. Right. Yeah. Those things are about belonging more than they are about the actual thing. Mm-hmm. And then for teens, so we're talking, you know, high school age, they definitely want to belong, but even further than that, they want independence. That's what they value. That's their currency. And independence from what, you ask? Well, from us. You know, they're a Ferrari with golf cart brakes. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, every desire to be independent and none of the wisdom needed. And we all, you know, we remember what that time in life was like. So with teens, obviously, same thing, grounding, taking away possessions or things that allow for independence, like cars, driving, cell phones, restricting their curfew, repayment of damages with money or time or labor, things like that. But ultimately, teens want independence. And so, again, all of those things, the activities they do, the places they want to go, the people they want to go with, the possessions that they have, are all for the purpose of independence. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to keep those currencies in mind to be able to pick consequences that work.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And talk about screen time real quick. You were saying earlier.
Yeah, I think now this is my opinion, and this is just an approach that I suggest. So this is not gospel or anything, but so take it for what it's worth. But I think the best strategy with screen time personally is to, rather than taking away screen time as a consequence, it a consequence. Screen time is more used as a reward mm-hmm. for behavior that you want. Mm-hmm. Because good discipline deals with both sides. It's not just about giving consequences for behavior you don't want. It's right. about teaching and training and having expectations of what you do want. Because kids mm-hmm. need to replace that negative behavior with a positive one. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea, and I think it's easier to enforce, of everybody starts the day with zero.
Yeah.
Everybody starts the day with no screen time. And if you want the screen time, if you want to be able to spend time on your devices or on the gaming system or whatever it is, here's what we expect. Here's mm-hmm. some of these expectations. And those things may be, you know, around some of the house rules, like, okay, you gotta, you know, put your clothes in the hamper and you need to yeah. Pick up your bedroom and chores.
Get dressed.
But also it could be, you know, it could be other things too, where it's like, ah, man, I noticed that you were really kind and you helped your sister. Nobody asked you to, but you saw her struggling and you went over and you mm-hmm. helped her with her shoe. I really appreciate that. How about 10 extra minutes of screen time? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a great way to reward behavior, to call out things that you notice that your kids are doing right. Because mm-hmm. who wants to hear all the time that they're missing the mark? It's yeah. really, really encouraging to our kids when we can notice them doing well mm. and call out those good things and reward them for it. Yeah. And then I also think it's hard for kids, especially at certain ages, and maybe boys more than girls, with certain things like video gaming. Once they have started that, once they're on the screen, pulling them from that mm-hmm. is much, much harder.
Right.
They get angry and upset. And I'm not saying you can't take screen time away as a consequence. You certainly can. Mm-hmm. I just think it works a little better where it's like, hey, look, every day is a clean slate.
Yeah.
We didn't hit the mark today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's a new day. Mm-hmm. We're starting fresh and you'll be able to earn your screen time tomorrow.
Yeah.
But today we didn't do it. Mm-hmm. So let's read a book. I'll read you a book. Let's go play outside. Yeah. I'll throw the football with you. You know, we'll play a little bit. And mm-hmm. so I think it can just be a good tool to kind of flip the script on that a little bit and use it as a reward rather than as a consequence.
Right. No, I like that. 'Cause especially as you think about like summer, it's just an uphill battle sometimes with kids and always wanting to be on screens and mm-hmm. that kind of entitlement. So it switches it as like, it's a reward. It's a great thing.
and with that, I want to say it's also perfectly okay as a parent to just be like, we're tired for the day. We're all done. And you know what we all need to do right now?
Veg and watch a movie. Yes.
Right. And so that's perfectly mm-hmm. okay. Like I have no judgment for when parents need to do that. Or you're at a restaurant and it's just like, look, we're going to put on bubble guppies so that they will sit there and be quiet and we can eat a hot meal.
Yeah. Yep.
It's fine. I'm just suggesting rather than taking screen time away that you can use it as a reward. It seems to be more effective.
Idea. Well, I think as parents, choosing and applying consequences, we've shared today, like carefully and then consistently, is really one of the most loving things we can do as parents.
Yes.
Because like you mentioned early on, it really protects our kids from worse consequences later. So we're talking about coming up with, you know, age appropriate, currency appropriate consequences that are motivated by our love for them.
Yes.
We're not coming out hot saying like, unleash the consequences.
Right.
Sort of saying,
right.
Evaluate the consequence, decide if it's a misdemeanor or a felony. Is this a character issue? What's really going on with this behavior? And how can I correct them in love so that we can nip this in the bud now and it won't be a bigger issue when they're launching into adulthood.
Yeah. And, you know, in Hebrews, it says the Lord disciplines the one he loves mm-hmm. and God disciplines us. And it's out of his love for us. It's not because he's some cosmic killjoy up in heaven waiting for us to screw up. He knows we're going to mess up. He expects us to. And when we do, he doesn't respond in anger or indignation. It's like, look, the boundaries, the rules, the standards that God has for us are for our good. They ensure our greatest joy, mm-hmm. that we can live in abundance. And so when he disciplines us, it's to redirect us back towards living within his standards and his boundaries so that we'll have the greatest capacity for joy. And it's the same with our kids. So
preach. Love it.
Yeah. Well, this does all come from the gospel. I think that's why it's so important as parents. When we get up every morning, we got to preach the gospel to ourselves so that we remember how loved we are by our Father, and we can then extend that same grace to the kids that he has entrusted to us. So we appreciate you, listeners. Please share this podcast if it's been meaningful or helpful to you. Leave us a review. Rate our podcast. That helps other people to find it. And we love to pray for people here at our ministry at Grace Based Families. In fact, every Tuesday we get together as a staff, and anybody who's contacted us over the course of that week about a prayer request, we pray for those things, and we really do hold you in our hearts here. And so if there's anything we can pray for you about, please email us at family@gracebasedfamilies.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Based Families podcast. This is part of Grace Based Families ministry.
For more resources, check us out on gracebasedfamilies.com/podcast or stream us on all major podcasting platforms.
Once again, this is Karis
and Michelle.
Until next time.